This is John Reitman with the TurfNet Renovation Report, sponsored by Golf Preservations. Our guest today is Chad Getz, Senior Design Associate with Nicholas Design. And we're going to talk today about a recent restoration of the Cochise course at Desert Mountain in Scottsdale, Arizona. Cochise, I believe, was the original site of the Traditions on the PGA Tour. Chad's going to talk to us a little bit about some of the history of the golf course, what the challenges were with this renovation, and what he hoped to achieve. So, Chad, if you can, just tell us a little bit about the project and why you thought that a renovation was needed.
Right. Well, first of all, John, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to talk to you today and talk about this really great project. The golf course at Cochise, Renegade, was actually the first golf course built at Desert Mountain, and it was fully renovated, 3 or 4 years ago. Cochise is next on the list. Kind of, as we all know, you know, that golf course opened in the late 80s, so its infrastructure has really lived its useful lifespan. So really, the renovation was driven by the club, the director of agronomy there, Todd Bone. The irrigation desperately needed replacement. The bunkers needed attention. The greens had been tweaked over the years. They needed rebuilding. So it's just really that, you know, 30 years down the road kind of life cycle. It's time to update everything and reset that life cycle. So that's really what the major focus of the project was on. Cochise is such a unique, I call it little, of the six golf courses there at Desert Mountain. It has what I think is the most intimate scale, really plays between a lot of rock outcroppings, et cetera. And it was the host of the Traditions. And, you know, I've been now with Nicholas Design 25 years, but I can remember in high school watching Jack and his compadres play in that tournament on that golf course and wondering, wow, you know, I'm from little town in Missouri, we don't have anything like that. That's so cool. And it's really rewarding, you know, all these years later to actually get a chance to work on it. So, we really called the club, you know, we had extensive early meetings with the club, a lot of feedback from members, a lot of sessions with members, and they really loved Cochise and they did not want to see it reinvented. They wanted to keep it as close as possible to what it is. And we ended up calling the project more of a restoration than a renovation. That's really the philosophy we used throughout the process.
Now, you mentioned some of that infrastructure, like irrigation and so forth. You know, the greens obviously get tweaked a little bit over time, but that hardware infrastructure, is all that original?
It was, yeah. And of course, in the desert, you know, you need your irrigation system functioning as well as possible. I mean, they had heads, you know, they'd kind of like everywhere when it gets old, it was kind of baling wire and duct tape. They had, you know, several heads looped together or blocked together, which wasn't, you know, they got the water out, but it wasn't very efficient the way that it put it down. So now completely brand new modern two wire Rainbird system in there. And they should be set up for a while now.
Obviously in the last 30 years, there've been a lot of changes with different turf types hitting the market. What is the course going to look like from tee to green?
Right. So it was a full renovation. We went down to the dirt everywhere, stripped off all the old 419 and whatever else had mutated and growing out there. Todd did his research. We actually did the practice area at Renegade using these grasses. The fairways and tees at Cochise are Tahoma 31. And the roughs are Tiff Tough.
A couple of new ones that have really gained a lot of acclaim in the last couple of years. What were the traits of those two varieties that everyone liked so much?
You know, Todd really, really loved the Tahoma 31. It's very dense. It's a little bit darker color. Desert Mountain now is on their, you know, they have at the moment three cool season courses and three warm season courses. So they're taking their overseed now to just fairways and tees. So, Todd just felt that could handle the overseed better. And it's again, it's a little bit denser and it's really performed well out there for him.
Yeah. What about water wise? What, you know, obviously that's the major challenge out there. What about the ability of turf varieties to, do they require as much water? Can they get by on less than what previously was in the ground there?
You know, I think all the modern grasses have a little bit better drought resistance than the old ones. You know, that's really Todd's. I'm not really an agronomist, but, you know, certainly reducing the overseed in the winter now is going to really save a lot of water. Yeah, I mean, again, all these newer grasses, you know, tout a little bit better drought resistance, but it's the desert. And again, it comes down to a really precise irrigation system where they can put the water only where they need it and you know, consistently throughout.
How does Cochise stand up over time, given the advancement of sticks and balls? And did you have to make any accommodations for the sort of the advanced player, you know, 30 years later with this restoration?
Yeah, again, Cochise was the tournament golf course. Cochise sits on the same, kind of shares the same clubhouse area and practice area as Geronimo. Geronimo will actually probably start this fall with a very similar project. But it was originally the tournament golf course. It's one of the shorter golf courses at Desert Mountain. It was even short in the day. It just set up logistically better to hold a tournament. But you're right. You know, today, you know, a better player would, depending on the course conditions, would probably play it pretty well. You know, but it is a slightly narrower golf course than the other ones. You know, the greens have some good movement in it. And I think if you got it firm and fast, you know, it could stand up. But, you know, a PGA Tour event today with these guys, they'd be just bombing it all over the place. It's really just, it's one of the members' favorite golf courses. And our goal was to, you know, let's do everything we can to make sure the members really enjoy what we've done.
Give a little bit more about the history of the course, being a Jack Nicklaus signature design, without going too far astray here. What constitutes a signature course?
Really, at Nicklaus Design, we have two different products. One is what we call a Nicklaus Design product, and then there's the signature product. And the signatures basically means Jack is involved. And Jack loves golf course design. And, you know, he doesn't just stamp his name on it. He makes numerous visits, and he really dictates the design. And it, as design associates, it's our job to take his comments, his scribbles, his diagrams, turn them into something that can be built. And, you know, again, Jack's very much works in the field, and we get those initial thoughts in, and then he comes out and reacts to that, and we go from there. But Jack loves design and is very, very involved in the process.
We're going to take a quick break for a brief message from our sponsor, Golf Preservations.
From fairway and greens drainage to full-scale renovation work, Golf Preservations can handle your project with ease and give you the peace of mind of knowing the professionals are caring for your valuable golf course assets. Since 2005, Golf Preservations has meticulously installed over 500 miles of drainage pipe on more than 300 golf courses nationwide, always keeping disruption of play to a minimum. Visit golfpreservations.com or call 606-499-2732 to speak with us about your next drainage or renovation project.
We're back on the Renovation Report, sponsored by Golf Preservations, with our guest, Chad Goetz of Nicklaus Design.
Now, there's some pretty unique design features on this course. I think you have a double island green, a split fairway. Can you give us a little bit of the background on some of those unique design features, and are they still in place?
Yeah, sure. I mean, again, it was designed in the late 80s. A gentleman named Scott Miller was the design associate at the time of the original build. And it was back in a time, you know, the desert is a pretty, can be a very unforgiving environment for golf. You've got the washes that work through the golf courses. And Jack really, you know, in all of his desert work, really took advantage of the washes and incorporated them strategically into the holes. And Cochise is no different. A lot of rock outcroppings at Cochise, where he either nestled green complexes into them or they're in the middle of the fairway. Just trying to use the beautiful rugged environment there to create this natural product. So, you know, it was a time when Jack was kind of still experimenting, and that you see a lot of those double fairways at Cochise, and some really interesting green contours as well.
What are some of the other projects that you have coming up that we can keep an eye out for?
Sure. Again, we'll be hopefully, if the membership votes in favor, and they're voting right now, we'll be back at Desert Mountain in the fall, Geronimo, for a very similar scope of project. We're going to be starting at Desert Highlands in Scottsdale, which is the home of the original Skins game, and really one of the first desert golf courses as we know it, with the ribbons of turf through the desert environment. So we'll be doing a renovation there starting in April. Hopefully, you know, have that back open for play around Thanksgiving time. I have another brand new build on Eleuthera in the Bahamas on a really stunning piece of land, five holes on the ocean. We'll be really getting going on that here soon. What else? I have to look at my list here. Oh, working in North Carolina near Banner Elk, which is in the mountains. They, unfortunately, Hurricane Helene really decimated that golf course. So not only are we putting it back, but we're taking advantage to implement a lot of things off the master plan that we've done for them in the past. Other stuff that comes up. It's going to be a busy year.
Maybe walk us through a little bit of some of the challenges that you have to work through with water out in the desert and just the difficulties that presents.
Well, you know, again, a lot of those challenges are figured out when the golf course is actually built. I mean, as you know, Scottsdale and Arizona have pretty strict regulations on amount of area of turf. And Cochise, we really, with a few very minor exceptions, we did not touch the grass line. So it's really essentially the same acreage of turf that we had before, which is pretty minimal. And it comes down, as I've said, to really good irrigation design, you know, minimizing the turf. It's kind of a balance, obviously, minimize the turf where you don't need it, but make sure you've got enough where, you know, the members can hit some shots offline and still go find their balls, etc. So that's kind of a line to walk, because obviously in the desert, once you get off the turf, things get rugged pretty quick. I guess another aspect of water management is not necessarily the turf, but it's these washes. Again, it doesn't rain very often in the desert, but when it does, it comes really hard and fast. And those washes, you know, they're protected for a reason. You don't want to mess with those, because again, the water comes through there so fast, and you know, it's dry 11 months of the year. That 1 or 2 months in monsoon season can be really decimating. So really respecting those washes, let Mother Nature go, you know, where she needs to go, where she wants to go, and not really impact that much. So it's really, you know, like I said, it's unique in the desert, really being careful with what you're watering, and don't water it as much, you know, keep it as minimum as you can, but still also let people play golf. And then also just being aware of those 1 or 2 months of monsoon season at the end of the summer, where it can be very destructive if you're not careful.
Just curious, maybe discuss, what are the you know, where is an architect's head, so to speak, when you're doing a restoration in the desert 1 week, and then, you know, maybe the next month or a couple months down the road, you're shifting and doing a project in a tropical environment in the Caribbean, or you're doing something in the mountains in North Carolina, you know, some really radically different environments. What's sort of the process that maybe that an architect's head has to bounce back and forth between these different types of environments and projects?
Sure.
Because it's definitely not a cookie cutter.
No, it's not. Last year, for example, I had a project in Tampa. So it was not uncommon for me to drive to Tampa on a Monday, do my work there, fly out of Tampa on a Tuesday night into Arizona and do my work there, and then come home. So going from basically a somewhat tropical, you know, environment to the desert. But again, they're warm season grasses. So we're always, you know, paying attention, you know, there's a lot of be careful with the shade and does it drain, and, you know, all those kind of warm season stuff. But obviously, you know, you're going to the desert where it's, you know, Cochise has some topographic movement to it. I would not call it overly hilly, but it's not flat. Whereas Tampa, you know, the golf course might have had 6 feet of elevation change across the entire property, where you're, you know, you're working with such fine tolerances to make sure everything drains and you can see everything. And it's just, it's a different environment, different vegetation. You know, if we plant a tree here or whatever, we know in 10 years it's going to grow and it's going to shade this green. So maybe we don't want to plant that tree or consider something else. Whereas you go then to the mountains of Carolina, and now we're in cool season grasses and all the different challenges that those have. And, you know, and again, I think the other issue is not just the sites, but it's the people. Every club is different. Every club has different politics. Every club has different priorities. And really at the end of the day, I always say, you know, I'm not designing for myself. I'm designing for my client. I'm using my experience as a designer to listen to that specific client, that membership, of what's important to them, and then use my experience to deliver them, hopefully deliver them a product that suits their needs.
Sure. Yeah. And you mentioned how Cochise has historically been one of the members' favorites at Desert Mountain, at a place where they have so many choices. What is it about this one that they all seem to like so much?
I think it's just the land. You know, obviously they're all desert golf courses. They're all real estate, you know, projects. The homes, you know, Desert Mountain is so beautifully planned overall. Yes, the fairways are lined with homes, but they blend in so beautifully with the natural environment. You really don't realize they're there. Cochise especially is basically what we call a core golf course. It's one big blob of golf with houses around it. So you don't really notice that. But I think the site of Cochise, like I said, it just feels more intimate. It's a little bit smaller scale, which kind of naturally lends a little bit more character usually. You get over to Geronimo, and nothing wrong with Geronimo, but Geronimo's a bigger scale, and it just, to me, doesn't have as much of that little bit of character and intimacy that Cochise does. Cochise just is a wonderful little kind of corner of the property there, and I think the members really enjoy that.
Well, Chad, look, I appreciate you spending some time with us here today.
Well, thank you. It was one of the best, smoothest projects I've had in my career, and like I said, we're looking forward to Geronimo in the fall. Hopefully continue.